Jesus, I want to die to my will and be born anew in your grace. For as I am, I cannot please you. I must decrease, he must increase. Power in me is there, I believe. For this you bled on Calvary. Your pride is no longer a mystery. Thy will, Lord, thy will be done. Be done, Lord, be done. In my whole life, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Be done in my when I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a when I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing.
Oh, yes. In God's presence, we are always blessed. So even this morning, as we have come to his presence, sure, we will not live the same. We will be blessed. Amen. He knows every vessel that is here, the needs of every heart this morning. So we have also come with all reverence and with all humility, with faith, believing that we will not live here the same. Amen. So this morning, yes, we begin the service with, as usual, our Sunday schools for the children and we, the adults, here. So let us commit everything into the hands of the Lord, as himself is here to take his place amongst us and lead us through today's services. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. You've opened a new week, Lord, unto us. Lord, how we have been quickened from our various homes to go to no other place but to come to your presence, Lord. Father, we say thank you. Such grace, Lord, it comes from only you. And we thank you that, Lord, we are the recipients. Oh, glory be to your name. Lord, as we've come, yes, we want to hear what you have for us today. And Lord, as the service starts with the Sunday schools, Lord, we want to commit all into your hands. You are the author of your word, the Holy Spirit. Please come, take your word and lead us in our Sunday school here and with the children to prepare us, Lord, our hearts to be lifted up so that we will be able to sing and praise and worship you, to create the atmosphere for you, to bring your word for you have for us this day, Lord. So we commit, Lord Jesus, this studies now into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May we be seated for a while. Let us introduce everything, because always has been a little break, so we need to connect. to what we have been studying. So we are studying the seven church ages. And in a nutshell, it's all about the seven churches that were in Asia Minor. And what we study, it has been the prophet that broken them into stages for every church age. So you see that to every church age, Christ addresses the church by identifying himself to the messenger of that age. Amen. So we always hear unto the angel of the church of so-and-so, right. And then he introduces himself. So to a church, he will say, like Ephesians church, he said, "This thing saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand." You see, to another church age, he will say, "This thing saith the first and the last, he that was dead and is alive." To another church, you say, "He that what holdeth the sharp sword with what two edges." And then after he has introduced himself, the first thing he does is to praise the church of the good things that they have done. Amen. And then he comes to, you see, as he being the chief physician, he's able to diagnose the sickness of the church or the weaknesses. And then after he had laid them before them, he warns them by what? Giving them the way back to their former good life. Amen. And to them that will be able to overcome those weaknesses, he promises them a reward. But to those who will not, of course, condemnation. So that always confirms that he is a just God. See, he will never bring judgment upon the people whilst he has not what? First warned them. And so always, every church age, he ends with, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the church, let him hear what the Spirit is telling what the churches." Amen. So the last time we broke off, we were on Christ praising the Ephesian church. Today, as he being the physician, he's going to diagnose the church and show them their weaknesses and the way back. Amen. So let's take notice of this also, that even now, as we are here, every message or sermon that is preached here, it is intertwined with what? Praises, warnings, the way to go back. And when you do that, your reward. Praise the Lord. The message of the hour. That's how it is. So when we come here any time, every message or sermon that is preached by the ministers, our pastor, is intertwined with all this. Praise the Lord. So the last time we were on the praises, so let us do just one step back and look at the praises once more so that we can connect with what? The warnings, the complaints and the warnings from the Lord Jesus Christ. So shall we just stand to read the word of God from Revelation 2, chapter 2,
We want to look at the praises just briefly, and then we come to our studies proper for today. So for the praises, you see it in Revelation 2:2, where he said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast thou labored and had not fainted. So that was a praises to all the church of Ephesus. Shall we be seated? God richly bless you. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Now, Lord, open your and our understanding to our studies this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so, the prophet said, how beautifully the Savior praises. Okay, let's just start with our. Yeah, so we step back, we go to the Christ praises his own. And then the reading of the word. And then we come to how beautiful. Okay. So how beautifully the Savior praises and commends his children. He takes full account of their fine spiritual attitudes and behavior. He knows how to encourage us. We hear it every day when the pastor is here preaching. Amen. He knows how to encourage us in the right matters and discourage us in the wrong matters. And we could all learn, this thing couldn't come. We could all learn a good lesson right here in running the church and our families. Amen. This time I had to be careful to get the whole thing on the board. Amen. So, he went on. Christ went on. He said, they worked for the Lord. They were his servants, not the pawns of organization. No. They didn't go to church on Sunday and talk about name, or about that name, and then forget it the rest of the week. It's you, me and you this morning. They didn't give lip service to that name. No, sir. You see, it was their lives that were given. Amen. And then Christ went on to praise them. He said, they couldn't bear them which were evil. They don't give place to what? Evil things. Praise the Lord. They were a separated people. They had come out of the world, and now they weren't going to let the world enter amongst them. Amen. That's what we got to be watching. We shouldn't allow the world to enter in here. They will not put up with sin in the church. If it is sin, they will call it out. They will not push it under the carpet. Amen. And then he said, holiness was what? Holiness wasn't a phrase with them or a figure of speech. It was a way of life. That means whatever they say, they live it. Praise the Lord. So these were heavenly placed Christians whose behavior was in the Lord. So now we will come to our the warnings as he diagnoses the church, their weaknesses and sicknesses. Now he gives what? The way back. Amen. But one thing I want to let you know is that the prophet said, the meaning of Ephesus is what? Relaxed and drifting. That was the name of the city, the meaning of Ephesus. Relax and drift. So that was what? The spirit of that city. Every city has a spirit. This city has a spirit. You know it already. Amen. But you have to what? Overcome that spirit of that city. And this church of Ephesus, the mistake they did was that they allowed the spirit of that city to rather dictate their what? Their living, their lives. So they also relaxed and drifted. See. So let's now come to today's our studies as diagnosis and complaints and warning. We have known the good part of the Church of Ephesus. Now let's continue. You know, the first warning that God gave to the Church of Ephesus was that thou hast left thy first love. That means you have drifted. You've relaxed and drifted from your first love. The first love he's talking about was all with all the good things that they have done. That was the first love. Now, the prophet said, you have done all these good things. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And so now he starts. So he said, remember. The warning starts. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent. And do the first works, else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will what? Remove the candlestick from in the midst of you. Amen. I will come quickly and remove what? The candlesticks. Let me see. Where. That's showing that they had something in the beginning and has left it. And take notice of this. It is always he that endureth to the end. It is not just starting well and fade off, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. Let's watch it. You started very well, that's good. But the end is what proves that you have what? Been steadfast. Oh, you the race, you started very well, you were leading. First round, second round. Then third, we see you drawing back. My brother, no, not that kind of race. Praise the Lord. When you start well, continue in that word, in that same power. Is that the church? The church of Ephesus, the original fire has that word, has died down. He said the fervent desire to please God was no more. The passion to know his word, no more. The cry for reaching out in the spirit, you cannot more find it. He was telling the church, your fervent desire to please me is no more. Your passion to know my word is no more. Even the cry that you need to cry, reaching out in the spirit, You are no more doing that. He said, all begins to fade. And instead of that church being on fire, with the fire of God, it cooled off and became a bit formal. Is that that is what happening back there in the Ephesians. They were getting a bit formal. The abandonment to God was dying out, and the people weren't too careful about what God taught about them. Now, let's watch here closely. He said, the people weren't too careful about what God taught of them. And we all know that the thought of God, what he thinks about us, they are what? Good things. To help us to what? To reach our expected end. That's the thought of God towards us. Always good. But now, the people weren't too careful about what God taught of them. Now watch this. He said, they rather began to what? To be careful about what the world say about them. Amen. You see, the Ephesian church in the city, the way how they dress, the way how they go about their things. Now, they were careful about, you see, they were listening to what the people would say. See, a sister one time told me, look, bro, someone asked me, said, but you people, I don't understand you. Winter time, you have to wear something, trousers to cover your legs, and you wear skirts and all those are things. See, when someone begins to tell you those things, he's drawing your attention to something else. You see, that's what Ephesian church, they were doing. They were listening rather to what people say about them. So now they started to conform with what? Those things that they were saying, they're trying to what? To correct themselves. But they were correcting themselves to what? To damnation. Amen. We got to what? Always. Be aware of what? The thought of God towards us, not what the world is saying. If we listen to the world, then we will begin to what? Drift. Sure. Like the Ephesian church also drifted. Oh-ho, we come here. That the second generation coming on was just like Israel. See, the first generation that started the church of Ephesus when Paul was what? Was their pastor. And then later, according to the prophet, he said he preached there for 3 years, but you know, Paul wasn't a man that stays at one place. That's part of his ministry is to what? Is to go out. And so it was Timothy that came in. Timothy also, during his time, everything went well. But after Timothy, you see, then the church started drifting. So the first generation, they did very well. They preached the gospel. And so, the other time I was referring to this, our church. The ministry is the first generation at this present now. That's our first generation of this church. The ministry here. And the ministry here from the pastor and the ministers, they are what? They are preaching the truth. Then the second generation, watch. Uh-huh. The second generation. Brother Clayton's and Brother Faithful's and Brother Howell's and Daniel and all. you are the second generation coming. D. Amen. So he's telling you here, when it came to the second generation, it was there that they started what? Drifting. But we believe that our second generation, they are very strong here. Oh, praise the Lord. They will carry the light on. Yes. They have even started on. Praise the Lord. They are zealous. You can see the way how they go about church activities here. The Lord bless them. So let we continue to pray for them that they will hold a touch when the first generation is gone. Amen. So he said the second generation coming was just like Israel. They demanded a king to be like the other nations. You want to be like what? How things are being done in other churches. No, sir. We have a prophet, and we are following what the prophet has given unto us. Amen. When they did that, they rejected God, but they did it anyway. See? That means the spirit of what? Iniquity. You know what you are doing is what? It's wrong, but you do it. The spirit of iniquity has now come into the church. That is the history of the church. When it thinks more of conforming to the world instead of conforming to God, it isn't long until you see them stop doing the things that they used to do and start doing things that they wouldn't do initially. Yeah. Let's watch it. Second generation. You have to lay the example for the third generations to also to pick up. Amen. If the Lord will tarry. See? They changed their manner of dress, their attitudes and their behavior. They get lax. That is what Ephesus means, relaxed and drifting. He said, the high aspirations of this age that began with the fullness of the Spirit and aiming at the high calling of God began to what? Give way to a less watchful attitude and a less ardent following of Jesus Christ, and everything began to what? Manifest itself. See? It had become what? Relaxed. The church had become relaxed and was drifting. Ephesus. Already backsliding. It had left its first love. They became barren in life, and as is a sterile Enoch. See? Sterile Enoch. My. Both two. Something that is sterile is already has no power. Amen. And we know that Enochs, they were also without power. Naturally. But now we're talking about what? The spiritual. Amen. You understand it? Yes. Amen. So, when someone is sterile, there's no more power. The natural power God gave to him is no more there. See? The Ephesian age, for a while, she prevailed and then relaxed. And in that unguarded moment, Satan planted, he planted his seed amongst the church. And what happened? It was a complete ruination. That's what the prophet said. It was a complete what? Ruination. It ruined. The church got ruined. Do we have more time? Just about 5 minutes. Okay. So the prophet, Christ warning the church, He said, remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and will remove thy candlesticks out of his place, except thou wilt repent. Amen. When the candlestick is removed, what happens? Darkness. So that's the warning he gave to the church of Ephesus. And today is the same warning to us. Amen. If we have fallen somewhere, let us go back. Let's remember. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. So individually, if there is something that you were doing, you are no more doing, you see your very spiritual life is no more as it was before. He said, remember where thou art fallen and do the first what? Works. Remember here means to bring back into your mind the past. To bring back the memories of the good things and the great moments you had worshiping God in righteousness and in joy. When you had brought them back, then you compare your present condition to those times. And when you do that, you will realize where you had fallen. Amen. The realization must first come before repentance. You must realize that, yes, this is where I'd fallen. I have fallen. And do the right. If not, you cannot repent. It's not just, oh, brother, now I don't see so much about you today or for now, for recently, we don't see so much about you. Then you say, oh, I will repent from it. Whilst you don't know where you really went off the road. So you got to realize. Until you realize you are living in the wrong, it is impossible to totally repent. That's the truth. Amen. So let us read this one, and I think our time is getting closer. So in Ephesians Church 8 book, the prophet said, God tells them to remember. Evidently, something had left their minds. They had forgotten something. So he told them to turn back to their minds, to their point of origin. The origin of the first age was what? Pentecost. And they had fallen from it. They had forgotten the glory and the wonder of it. It was time to go back in their minds and then in reality back to when they could say, for me to live is Christ. That shows that they were really committed. They were committed. For me to live is Christ. Everything is what? Committed unto him. Back to purity. When Ananias and Sapphira were dealt with. That means we shouldn't entertain what? Sin. We must call it out. Not push it somewhere. Amen. Amen. Back to the gate, beautiful. You understand it? Yes, sir. Yeah, to take our commission and go out there and preach the gospel to every creature. And they that will believe, they will be baptized. And these things shall follow them. What? They will lay hands upon the sick and they will what? They will be healed. So he said, go back to get beautiful. Amen. Oh, what a reproach it is to drift from God. My brother, it's a reproach. Hallelujah. to drift from God. So let us what? Go back to where? Set yourself where you have fallen. And when you come to that realization, then repent, my brother. Repent. I think our time is up. And it's remained just some few things to read. But let me just give you a little of this thing here before we go. Praise the Lord. So the prophet said, repent quickly. He said, repent quickly. Don't hesitate. If you know that you are drifting, repent quickly. Don't hesitate. He said, evidently, Ephesus did hesitate. For her lifespan was not very long. The glory of God decreased ever so rapidly. Its glorious what? Temple. Its glorious temple became a shapeless what? Mass. There was not even one Christian left. The lamp was rent from its place because they didn't what? Jesus told them, if you won't repent, I will come and take what? The candlestick away. And when it was taken away, they continued all right as what? Christians? But what? There wasn't any power of the Holy Ghost in the midst. So it is today we see many Christians, but where is the power? You got to find where God has placed his name, where he will meet with the worshipers, and it is always one place. Amen. Where the blood is, where the word is, where you have been able to recognize the messenger of your time, then you would surely know that you have found a place where he has put his name for that age. May Lord bless us and help us. Amen. Shall we bow down our heads? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. As we receive all these warnings, oh Lord, yes, help us, Lord, that we will stay no matter all the challenges. But we know that, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, Lord, in our midst, all that goes before us, the name Jesus, our banner, we will always overcome. We thank you. We bless you as now, Lord. We want to worship you and praise you and give glory to you, even for the things you've done for us or the week that has passed, and even this morning as you have gathered us together, oh Lord, we want to lift up your name and worship you. We want to now, oh, commit the solid and the musicians, Lord, into your hands. Oh, grant us the voice, the heart, oh Lord, to lift your name high this morning. Oh, to create the right atmosphere, oh, for your word, oh God, as Lord Jesus, your servant, even now in your presence, oh God. Father, you know the needs of the church this morning. Oh, let your word flow through him. Oh, meeting every needs this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray. We want to worship you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God richly bless.